Hey everyone, thank you for joining us on this incredible platform, Encounter. You know that it is here where we get revelation, impartation, and equipping. My name is Leon DePrio from Encounter Church, from Encounter Christian Church, Encounter Global. You will see that this word will lift you, will empower you, will equip you. So I want you to stay tuned. Before that, go visit www.encounterchurch.co.za for any resources to give via any platform for any video resources. Become a part of this family. Become a part of this network. I can't wait to be with you today. This message is going to be pure revelation. Stay tuned, and I can't wait to see you. Get into the message. God bless you.
Nine orders of angels. But I want to speak to you this morning about the limitation of angels. The weakness of angels. Okay, the limitation of angels. That is, never knew angels had limitations. Definitely, angels had limitations, has limitations. So. But let's get to the nine order of angels. And let's go to, what scripture am I going to use for this? Let me think. Let me not give scripture on this one because I will break every point open in scripture. So you have nine orders. You have three categories of angels. Number one, you have, and I'm writing them in proximity to the throne of God.
Come on.
Okay, sure. In proximity to the throne of God. Cherubims, seraphims, seraph. They can see there. It's not too thin.
Yes, that's good.
Okay. A cherubim, seraphim, ophanim. Did I get this out of extra biblical scripture? No. Okay, this is Bible. So when it comes to angel names, but Leon, where do you get ophanim from? You just haven't read your Bible. That is
all. Yes.
Okay, so. Ophanim, and I'll give the scriptures, right? This is your first category. Okay, so I wrote 1, 2, 3. This is your first category out of the nine order of angels. The second category, if we get to the fourth ones, we have dominions. And I know some people might class it differently. This is how I class it and how most class it. Dominions, virtues. Powers. Okay. And if you're watching right now, just take a screenshot and you will see how, and we won't be long. I'm going to give you good points of angels right now.
Come on.
Cherubims, seraphims, ophanim, dominions, virtues, power. Let me get to the last three. This pen is dry. Seven, eight, nine. Principalities. Seven, eight, nine. What did I say? Dominions, virtues, powers, principalities, archangels. And normal angels. Archangels and normal angels. I want us quickly this morning to focus on normal angels. So it's seraphim, it's cherubim, seraphim, ophanim. Am I right? Yes. Dominions, virtues, powers,
yep.
Principalities, archangels,
yes.
And angels.
Yes.
Now, I want us to look at something with angels. I'll explain ophanim, I'll explain seraph, cherubims. That is very powerful. I'll get into it tonight, and I'll show you tonight how to work with angels, how to speak with them, and what your relationship should be with angels.
Sure.
There's something that makes angels work. Maybe I touched a little bit on this morning, but there's something that makes angels work. Go with me to, let's go to Genesis 18. Can somebody get me my Bible. Maybe it is upstairs or there, or just get me my Bible. No, too small. Is it just check where my Bible is, the Thompson one, please, thanks. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 18. Let's read from verse 1 while I'm waiting for my Bible. Let's read from verse 1. Let's put it on. Genesis chapter number 18, verse number 1. This is powerful. I want to show you the weaknesses of angels. Weaknesses. And limitations. Weaknesses and limitations. Are they getting it?
Yes.
I'm sure I brought it down. Okay. Weaknesses and limitations. Listen. Weaknesses, limitation. Genesis chapter number 18, verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 18, verse number 1. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree. Thank you. By the terebinth tree. As he was sitting in the tent door, in the heat of the day. Now, just stop there. Listen. I just want to clear my table space here. Okay. Genesis chapter number 18, the verse number 1. Listen to this. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now we see a manifestation, an appearance of God upon Abraham. And there are many divine appearances. There is what we call theophysis. A theophysy is, it's an experience of God becoming man. I hope that is, am I right with that word? Theophany, I preached a series on it. Theophany is God becoming man. When he visits and he appears to you, he comes in a human form.
Yes.
That's a theophany.
Yes.
It is having an encounter with God in your own world. Listen to me. The Lord will rarely come to you in a form of light or in a form of fire. And that has happened with Moses. But when we look at Abraham, we see God coming and walking to him in a human form. That's why the Bible says that Abraham could speak to him face to face. God came in a human form. When Moses spoke to God and saw him on the mountain, guess how he saw God? He saw him standing there like a human being, fully with fingers, with toes, with shoes on, yes. Sandals on.
Yes.
At that time it was sandals. God was standing like a human form. Yet these people, if I want to say patriarchs like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, would recognize immediately whether it is God or not.
Yes.
Okay, listen to this. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre, and he was sitting at the tent of the door of the heat of the day. Verse number 2. So he lifted his eyes. Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him.
Yes.
And he saw them. He ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the ground. Listen to this. The word, when Abram lifted his eyes, it means he switched from the natural to the spiritual.
Yes, come on.
It's an opening up of spiritual eyes.
Yes.
It is a term that is used in scripture, meaning that don't be so downcast. You know, people, they just kind of, they have no hope.
Yeah.
They just walk like this.
Yes.
Depressed.
Come on.
Yeah. When they talk, it's just depressed. It's just like that.
Yes.
There's not a lifting of countenance or a lifting of eyes. And so when the Bible says that Abraham lifted his eyes, he looked, and behold, three, listen to the wording here. I don't want people to stay with me. I'm doing prophetic teaching. Listen to this. And behold, three men were standing by him. Just switching. Be quick, guys, please. I'm standing like half out of the shot. You guys must be quick. If there's issues in your heart, then you must repent. Listen to this. By him. And when he saw them, listen. He lifted his eyes and looked. I want you to look at this phrasing. And behold, three men were standing by him. Now, we have social distancing, so I can't really use Pastor Chris or Pastor Martin as an example. Or they can come stand here, you know. So they were here. Yeah, come stand. They're next to him because they were next to one. Okay, don't worry. Is it close? It just looks close to you, but it's actually not. Okay, in the spirit, it's far. And listen to this. Abram lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. Now, listen to this. He's standing by them. Three men now. There's two here, but let's say three men. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Now, he stayed by him, close. But when he opened his eyes, so even though they were close, they were far away. You can have an encounter with God. He can feel like he's right next to you, but actually he's 20 meters away. In the realm of the Spirit, when Elisha said to his servant, to pray for his servant's eyes to be opened, that the Bible says that the eyes of his servant was opened. And as Elisha prayed for his servant, that Elisha's servant looked at him and saw chariots of fire round about Elisha. Not around them or around the armies, around Elisha. But yet his servant was standing right next to him. But his eyes opened, he saw a distance. You see, when Abram's eyes opened, he lifted his eyes. He looked, he saw three men. But because his eyes was opened, he suddenly saw them far away from him. When you understand your distance in the realm of the Spirit, you see, when people think of themselves more than what they, highly than what they ought to, or they think I belong here or there, or I can do this in preaching or this and however, when they think they are somewhere, or even when it comes to a prophet, when they think they're close, there'll be something, when their eyes are open, they will suddenly realize, or there'll be a moment, I have so much to grow still. I have so much to go through still. It's distance. And as long as that distance is kept, familiarity is taken away and honor is protected. The ability to receive impartation is protected and maintained. When people violate the rule of familiarity, they break the rule of impartation. You know, I've seen people, sometimes people that's, let's say, supposed to be very close to me, they'll be like treating me, not Pastor Chris or anyone here. They'll be treating me like crap. Yes. And it's like a day before they were good, another day. Just like they will stand next to me as if I don't exist and then talk to me like, oh, you know? How many times have we seen that? Walking over me and then it said familiarity. Familiarity. And that familiarity immediately eliminates you from receiving the anointing. You see, Abram ran to this angel, to the Lord and the two angels next to him, and he bowed himself down. He bowed, he kneeled. Bowing is not worshiping. Bowing is a language of the kingdom, a language to receive from a prophet, from angels, and from Christ. Okay, then we see. Where am I? Three men, when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. So I wanted to show you, they by him. Yet, when he opened his eyes, he realized he was afar off and he had to run to them. When we're in the flesh, we can think we are close to God. When our eyes are opened, or we become sensitive in the spirit, or we have an encounter with him, we quickly realize the holiness between us, the ground of holiness. And that is the duty of Seraph and cherubim. Seraph announces his holiness. Cherubims protects and guards His holiness. Seraph announces, cherubim protects. Ofanim fights it. I'm going to say again. Seraph announce the holiness, fire, the presence, and the glory of God. The cherubim protects it, meaning if the glory is in your house, when this conference and the touch of God conference, the glory of the Lord is going to come into your house, that means when the presence or the glory is there tangible, you will have cherubims there protecting. A cherubim was put at the gate, at the entrance of the Garden of Eden, with a flaming sword to stop Adam and Eve from coming back in. The cherubim was there to protect the glory, the garden. The cherubims were placed upon the mercy seat, the Ark of Covenant. Ark of the Covenant. The cherubims is not a fat little baby flying around with a whatever. A cherubim is a warfare angel. It protects the glory. It is the cherubim that striked death to death. Who was it? Was it just help me? Who touched the Obadon? Just Google for me. Obadet, no, it was him who had the glory in his tent. So just help me quickly with that one. Uzzah. Was it Uzzah? Oh, okay, sorry. I got confused. King Uzziah died. Uzzah was the, okay, Uzzah. They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, as we know that David brought it, wanting to bring the Ark to Jerusalem. And as they were carrying it, the ark looked like it was tipping at the threshing floor. Now that's a whole nother teaching that I'll teach you on, where the glory of God gets tipped it, and where people are being tipped, and where people are being tested. And when the glory tipped, Uzzah wanted out of his own strength to protect it. You know, we have a saying, don't try to help God without His permission. Don't try to do God a favor without His permission. But when Uzzah touched the ark, he died. He was struck down dead. It was not God that struck him. It was the cherubim that was guarding and protecting that ark that struck them dead. God cannot kill. I hope people understand this. He has people that kills for Him. He has angels that sets in place that kills people. Okay? He has created that system so that there's no evil on Him. And I'm not speaking of the angel of the Lord. Okay. So, which is Christ, eh? Although God is a Trinity. When we get into those dimensions, it's different. So Uzzah touched it and cherubim struck them dead. Thank you. That is how serious the work of a cherubim is. So you have seraph that announces the glory. Cherubims that protects and guards the glory of God, the holiness of God. Then you have ofanim that fights and moves the glory. It takes the glory from one part to another, carrying the cherubims and the glory with it. Yes. That is the ofanim. Then we get to what I said, virtues, powers, and dominions. Eh? Virtues, yes. Power, and dominions. Yes. And then I said principalities, archangels, and angels. So we're going to get into, I'm going to touch right now on angels. Listen to this. These are angels that came to, so it's God and two angels. Verse number 3. And said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass by on your servant. Yes. If I have now found favor in your sight, must I stand here, brother? If I have now found favor in your sight, listen to this. Do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet. Now listen, I want to show you something here. And rest yourselves under the tree. So, this is what Abram is saying. He says, my Lord, let me wash your feet. So God had feet.
Yes. Come on.
So that you can rest under the tree. So God needed rest. Because He came, appeared to Him like a physical body. Okay.
Come on.
I think this is going to be too much for people. Could Jesus have been killed? Huh? Like my commentators. Are you guys answering? Huh. Hey? Yeah, I know I preached that sermon. Okay. No, He could. Preached Jesus was never killed on the cross.
Yes.
But He could be killed.
Yeah.
That's why His disciples had to have swords.
Yes.
That's why He had to sneak away.
Correct.
The one night by the wall. Am I right? By the wall. He had to sneak away.
Yes.
Why did his parents have to take him out of Egypt? Am I right? Egypt? So sorry, I'm not preparing. I'm speaking to you out of my spirit.
Yep.
And they had to come. An angel came to him in a dream and said, no, go left or go right. And or hide, you know, go hide here. Or was it Egypt? Sorry, where he hid. He went to Egypt. My apologies. And why? There was a census taken.
Yes.
And an angel warned Joseph in a dream, Joseph and Mary, go that way, not that direction.
Yes.
Why? Jesus could have been killed. If Jesus could have been killed, can God be killed? Yeah.
Yes.
This is going to be very, very tricky.
Has to be.
For people. And I'm not saying killed like eternally.
Yeah.
In this realm, like
yes,
because
yes.
He's manifesting yet. I'm going to show you the weaknesses of angels, not God. Let me not get, because that'll offend. God is all powerful.
Yeah.
I understand that. But why did he have to send a son into this world to overcome certain things? Because he gave this world, the natural realm, to Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Adam and Eve lost it to Satan.
Yes.
Then he took it from Satan.
Yes.
And he gave it to the church. Yet Satan is still, when somebody is like squatting, you know?
Illegal tenant.
An illegal tenant, squatters. That's Satan. I'm not saying squatter camps are Satan. If anybody's going to come and pull this out and say I'm a racist. Yeah, somebody that they just like squatting. They are an illegal tenant, okay? Yeah. But that is what Satan is. He is an illegal tenant. The rent hasn't been paid. He has been put out already, but he violates.
Yes.
So a lot of people ask, but you know, if the devil is destroyed, why are we still fighting him? Because whatever he's doing is illegal.
He's
like a criminal now. He needs to be, his arrest will be enforced when he's thrown into the lake of fire.
Come on.
Right now you have authority as a believer, like a badge, like a police officer badge.
Yes.
And you apply it towards the demonic, towards the devil, and you enforce your authority and you enforce his sentence. That is how it works.
Come on.
He is a convicted felon.
Yep.
That is a fugitive on the run. Okay.
Come on.
So if I say that God can get killed, understand in a human manifested way, because Jesus could have been get killed.
Yeah.
He had to be wise. His parents had to listen. Does anybody disagree with that? Let me see.
Everyone is.
I didn't say Satan is squatter camps. I said a squatter, because I can just imagine now.
It's like a person entering a country without a passport or a visa.
Yeah. Illegal immigrant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly that. Now all the
illegal he's overstayed his visit. He's
he had a temporary pass and now it's expired.
Yeah. I'm using my police badge to sorry. Okay, so I want you to understand that let's look at the weaknesses of angels. So here we see that Abraham said,
where was it? Somebody saying that, Satan must social distance.
Yeah. So listen to this. So he needed rest. Abraham said to him that you may rest yourselves under the tree. So there was shade needed. Why? They came in a human body.
Yes.
Came in a human body.
Yes.
They had power, you're going to see now, but they came in a human body.
Sure.
The sun affected them. Verse 5, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts, so God's heart can be refreshed. Mm-hmm. You see, prophets can be refreshed, God can be refreshed, believers can be refreshed, and Christ can be refreshed. God can be refreshed, angels can be refreshed, prophets can be refreshed, believers can be refreshed.
Come on.
Is that what I said?
Yes.
Yeah. And Christ, obviously, can be refreshed because he was, he can be refreshed. The Bible says when we look after a prisoner, we're looking after him.
Come on.
When we give to this one, we're actually giving to him.
Yes, that's right.
He who brings a cup of water to another believer, hey? To my disciple, to one of these. To the least of these, they will receive a blessing. Yes. He who receive a prophet in the name of a prophet receive a prophet's reward. It goes beyond just a cup of water. It is speaking of receiving. The word receiving means to totally embrace somebody in your spirit and to make sure that they are refreshed and nourished and looked after, you know. And I was giving a teaching to our partners privately, to some of our partners, and I said, you know, Elisha, just for anybody that thinks that I'm treating my staff bad, I'm not. We are in an army right now. Now we are in a time of war. That is just how it is. And, you know, and that's just how it is. This is nothing. That's God has placed me as an authority, and I can't leave somebody to not, I need to warn or say, wait, be watchful for this, be careful for that. Yep. Elisha, when he was trained by Elijah, he had to, the Bible says that the king's servants told him that there's a man by the name of Elisha, and the word of the Lord is with him because he washed the hands of Elijah.
That's right.
But the washing of hands is what we call refreshing. And the washing of hands there was not just washed hands.
Yeah.
It speaks, when they say he washed his hands, it speaks of that he dedicated his life to serve him.
Yes.
In fact, the word there speaks of urine. And it is speaking of that it is the most embarrassed type of job.
Sure.
And that Elijah on purposely embarrassed Elisha. Because if you have a call of God in your life, you must be embarrassed.
Come on, come on.
That is the training.
Sure.
Everybody's like, I'm in a pit, prophet in training. Okay? Let's embarrass you and see how long you were lost. That is the test of the prophetic.
Yes.
Is that. So I'm going to refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass in as much as you have come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. This is very powerful because the same two angels went to Lot and Lot asked them the same thing and they said, no, don't do it. We don't want you to, they said, we'll stay a little bit. You can refresh us, but we're not going to stay with you. Where the angel said they'll stay with, and God said they'll stay with Abraham.
Yes.
There's two different character types here, Lot and Abraham. There's some people that are allowed to host God with him. And others who are not allowed. Okay. I hope people are getting something out.
People are with you, Prophet. Cynthia is saying, this is so deep. Thank you, Prophet. I always wanted to know more about angels. Now I connect.
Do as you said. Now listen, like I said, I have to carry on with this tonight. So Abram hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready. Listen here, hurried. Okay, this I'll get into the operations, how to work with angels and prophets. Okay. Hurried into the tent speedily. You know when you ask somebody to do something? Give me some water. Slowly. And you think, no. And then somebody runs and they serve with passion. Yeah. And then others think, oh, look, he's just serving man. No. He's using the ancient language from, it's Israel, in the language, even in the East still. When you host somebody, when you welcome, when you serve somebody, you do it with such speed.
Yes.
And then you don't even eat with them. You just stand and watch them eat.
Yeah.
Come on.
That is the culture. That is the language.
Come on.
That is the language of the kingdom. That is why the Holy Ghost works with speed always. Hmm. Not slow, sloths. Okay. So Abram hurried into the tent, said to Sarah, quickly make your three measures of fine meal needed. Now listen to this. And Abram ran, verse 7, Abram ran to the herd. He went and hunted. Took a tender lamb and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. Hastened, but here they went and hunt, slaughtered, and they. In the meantime, while the angels and God is waiting.
Yes.
This is a long process.
Yes.
So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. So he put it before them, and he stood back and he looked like this while they were eating.
Yes.
Okay, while they ate, so God is eating. So God had feet because Abram asked for their feet to be washed. They were having to be refreshed. They could experience sun and shade.
Yes.
They could eat. God is eating.
Yes.
We know that Christ. We're gonna have a supper with him.
Yeah.
Eating so God can eat, and we know that Christ could eat just before he left, when he was after his resurrection, when he visited the disciples, he ate. Mm-hmm. So God is eating. And in fact, Abram said, make them a fine meal, an exquisite meal.
Sure.
and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent, and certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, wife, shall be of son." Okay, now Abram and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abram, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am not?'" You know, under the prophetic anointing, and I always tell this to people, I can hear internal dialogue.
Come on.
Yes, yes.
I will sometimes say to somebody, "But why are you saying 1, 2, 3 in your head?"
Yeah.
It's an internal dialogue. Then you have people that are trying to pretend to do it. They cannot. It's a prophetic anointing. And right throughout Scripture, and I'm just preaching to you just normally here, hoping that you can understand, right throughout Scripture, prophets and angels are synonymous.
Sure. Come on.
Because angels came as messengers, okay, and then to protect. But their jobs, especially your angels here, Gabriel is a messenger, I know, but especially these angels, they are the ones who are doing work for you.
Sure.
I will get into that tonight. Not to you. They're not serving you. They're doing service on your behalf.
Yes.
That means you can command and tell them, do this, do that, on a balanced way, by the word of the Lord. They go in the word of the Lord, but they are at your command, waiting for your instruction on how to move. And then they're ministering on your behalf. Where you cannot do something, they go out and they go minister there. Or maybe, you know, maybe you're battling to get food in or so, but you have to do ministry. All of a sudden you see food in your cupboards, or you see people coming to your house and giving you food.
Yes.
Angels.
Sure. Come on.
Unawares.
Come on.
Then, so prophets and angels are very synonymous. By the way, they have to have a message to deliver. They can protect a nation or protect a people.
Yes.
They are in direct communication with God. Angels speak of God, speak for Him, and prophets speak for Him. Although angels also have their own will, that's why some fell. And I hope this makes sense. Is anybody negative fighting?
No one is fighting, prophet. No. Everyone is with you. And
I'm hoping for like negative stuff to come up.
Everyone is with you.
Prophet, when I do something that offends somebody, my husband always says, "Leon knows everything." So. I can, you know, we make it, we always have a joke. We say prophets, we're not omnipotent, but we're omniscience. No, I'm joking. Only God is omniscience, omnipotent, and omnipresent.
Prophet,
okay?
Prophet, I've seen you share some stuff that people have said in their bedrooms, that they would confess, how they would talk about you, that it would come out. Mm. And how do you fake that? When the two people that were conspiring about you can confess those things to you.
I remember that.
To come clean. The exact words.
Come on.
Where do we classify the guardian angel? Good question. Yeah. Okay. Good question. So angels, listen, this ninth type of angel is your normal, ordinary type of angel. If I say normal, ordinary, it's these ones that had a lot of limitations. And you'll see now. But it's these ones that minister to you. It's these ones that visit you like travelers. That's these angels. So what scripture am I? And verse 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am not? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh.'" Do you know that I can confront somebody or say this and that, and they'll, no, they didn't, but in their hearts, they knew they did.
The prophet, true.
But it's not an evil thing, meaning it's a human nature.
Yes.
So God didn't care yet that she still received the son. You know, it's just that's how human nature is. It's fine. For she was afraid, and he said, "No, but you did laugh." Okay, now listen to this. I want to let's go to verse 19. Go to verse 17. Chapter 18, verse 17. Go to verse 17. Listen to here. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? Shall I hide from him what I will do? Shall I hide from my prophets what I want to do? Shall I surely," the Bible says in Amos, "surely I have revealed it to my prophets, the servants, first, my secrets. Let's go to chapter 19, Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. And I want to close off. I just want to get into this story and give you two or three more keys. And tonight will be shorter and we'll have time for ministry, okay? Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Now the angels, let me read from here. Now the angels came to Sodom in the evening. Listen to this. Now these are the two angels. So these are the two angels that left God. It was God and the two angels with him. Visited Abraham. God leaves and the two angels goes to Lot. Strange that God doesn't go to Lot. So now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them. Listen to this. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. These angels looked normal like any other person. Yet Lot had the ability to see.
Come on.
This tells you more like why Lot is in the trouble that he is.
Sure.
He knew everything. He knew what he was doing.
Yes.
You'll even see it as we carry on reading here. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, no, where now? Did you change? You go back? I don't change yet. Listen here. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and he bowed himself, his face towards the ground. This is the second time we're seeing bowing, and I can go into 80 times of bowing in the scripture.
Yes.
People don't know that. They say, I will never bow before a man. Well, they bowed before a man.
Yeah.
What if that man in front of you is an angel?
Ish.
Bowing is not worshiping. I'm saying it again.
Yes.
Otherwise, you worshiped your wife when you asked her to marry you.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Okay. Bowing is a language of honor, and I've never asked anybody to bow. I've only asked,
that's right.
I've only put it in as a thing of when I anointed our people for ordination.
Yes, yes.
That is it, ordination. Not a normal laying on of hands service. I'll never do that. I'll never ask somebody to bow. We just did it for ordination so that it can be done properly.
Yes.
That is it. But he bowed himself. They knew the language, prophetic language, with his face towards the ground. Mm-hmm. Next verse. And please understand, the angel never said to him, stand up, don't worship me.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, sure. True.
And he said, hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. So I want to show you what has been happening here.
Prophet, we've got a question from Christy van Toner. He's saying, Prophet, where did God and the two angels get the bodies to be in when they came to Abraham?
He can create bodies. He's God.
Amen.
He comes as a body. So let me explain this. It's a body, but it's not a natural body. But it is.
Yes.
It looks natural. Everything, it will be natural.
Come on. Yes.
But it is coming from a higher dimension into this dimension. So when you understand dimensions like we have discussed or preached last time, you can become and act on the lower dimension, something, and look to them like they are. That's how it works in dimensions. But he couldn't come through as born as a man, carrying a seed. So if God comes as a man there, he doesn't have coming from a woman's womb, which gives him then legal right to be as a human being fully for life here, arrested in this world.
Yes.
Jesus was arrested in this world.
Yes.
Some people say he's like a demigod. No. Okay, he's not a demigod. He's not a god that has fallen like the Greek mythical gods, but he was contained in this world.
Come on.
His life had to be taken for him to go.
Yes.
But now when God comes, he didn't have to be killed to go. He could just go move, do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying God has limitations in what we read in the scripture. Okay? What I mean by limitations, he had to be put under shade. He had to rest. He could do something, but there might have been there's a spiritual limitation that is on his life. Understand?
Yes.
The Bible says, I cannot do anything unless I let my servant Moses know. I don't do anything. With Abraham, he says, surely I hide nothing from Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I must first run things past him. I must first let him know.
Yeah.
Moses, I must first let him know before I do something. Right now, it is the church. God comes through his prophets and he lets people know what is happening. You need intercession to bring him into parliament.
Wow. Sure.
Otherwise, he could just come walk and just turn, just do everything.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
He is, God has submitted to his own laws that is put into place.
Come on.
He's sustained by his own laws.
Yes.
Where he, you know, which is his word. The Bible says he exalts his word above himself. They want to take on South Africa. They want to take on the United States and say the president, you know, if we must submit to a government, we must submit to Romans, whatever is it, you know, it is in Romans 13 that we must submit. I understand submission. But if your government is violating their authority,
yes,
which is a piece of paper, God has a piece of paper. That is his authority.
Yes.
It's his word.
Come on.
He exalts his word above himself.
Yes, yes.
And he keeps himself accountable by his word.
True.
Just like that, the presidential or governments, unless you are in a dictatorship and communism, you are bound by the Constitution,
yeah. Yes.
Bill of Rights.
Yes, yes.
And you know, and when they violate that as a government, they are in violation and committing a crime. Am I saying it's happening in South Africa?
Preach.
Make it what you want. No, yes, no, yes. But that is why. What if an announcement is made? No church. Next year, no church meetings.
Yeah. Sure.
What will you do? Will we open Encounter Church or not? Because that's a question that came to me. A thought that came to me. And it's a reality.
Yeah.
People are struggling right now. What are they going to do then? What are they going to do when communism is everywhere? And you're not allowed to even express your faith. Lest you pass a sickness. So I cannot hug somebody or pray for them. Now you have to begin to violate what they are doing and say, we're going to do this nevertheless and face persecution. Because you can say, I'm going to be wise for a year, 2 years, you backslid and then you're gone.
Hey.
You've given up your faith. You're like the cowardly in the book of Revelation 19.
That's right.
Cowardly. That the Bible, in fact, is one of the first on the list, cowardly, the unbelieving, those who are cowardice. Am I saying we're doing unwise things? No, no, no. Everybody's like, have the wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? To submit to anyway. So submission, yes, we submit. People need to understand what that scripture means. If I walk out and I break the speed limit, government tells me, okay, you broke the speed limit, you're fine. That's submission. I should be spaying by my... If they come in, they say, okay, look, we want... you know, you're not allowed to walk on the streets anymore. Okay. They can change their Bill of Rights, for example, let's say like that, if they are however with votes, but they can change that, or maybe they are doing it. In that way, we still submit.
Yes.
But when it comes to your faith, it's a different... Just like a wife does not submit to her husband in the area of faith, meaning if a husband tells you you're not allowed to go to church, you're not allowed to worship God, she must violate that.
Yes.
So actually, when we obey, if she would obey that, she would be disobedient to a command that God is giving her.
Yes, yes.
This is how submission, and I'll open up that scripture, maybe we'll do it Wednesday, and we'll do a scripture. Maybe we'll see. Maybe I'll speak to Reverend Kenneth Mesher beforehand also, but just to explain Romans. Because every believer, oh no, you know, we must submit to our government. You don't know what it means. There is a, it's a democracy, supposed to be. It is by a vote and by decisions, and then there's a paper that protects so that there's not abuse coming in. They submit to that paper. I hope that makes, I don't know,
yes.
I hope that makes sense.
But Prophet, it's the same as saying, oh, now I'm not going to give because we're not going to church, we're not going to physical church, but this church started by them going house to house and breaking bread house to house. It's amazing how people will unpack scripture or use things to justify their because it's
their,
a comfortable place.
Yeah, so I'll be visiting your houses. Okay, soon. We're already visiting your houses, but in the touch of God, I don't know, my hand might just come through the TV there, or God's hand might come through the TV there. And then we, so am I saying to disobey a governor now? No. I told you, people will know when I begin to do, when I feel that our faith is violated. It already is. But we are still staying suited at this time. And then, you know, people ask me, when are you going to do this? When are you going to rebel? Not rebellion, don't use that word. When will I obey God?
Come on.
That is the word.
Yes.
Peter said, shall we obey man or obey God?
Mm.
You make the decision. Who do we obey? You make the decision. In Acts chapter number 4, I think, in Acts chapter 4. So you decide whether it is best for us to obey you or to obey God. But what we're going to do, we're going to obey God. But if that determines judgment on us, that's fine. We're obeying God. So it's never, ever rebelling. The church must never use the words. Acts 5, verse 29. So never use the word rebelling. The church is not rebelling if it is going to do something, if church will be shut down completely. And people say it's impossible to get there. Well, we said it's impossible to get where we are today.
Mm-hmm. It happened overnight.
And it happened by one call. So that is the times that we are living in. But imagine this, not ever since Passover had the church have to experience Passover. And we have experienced Passover how the Israelites have. So that tells you when Pentecost comes, the yes. Touch of God conference comes.
Yes.
Pentecost, we will not only celebrate it, but experience and encounter it because we experienced and encountered Passover. That means fire will come into your house.
Amen.
The fire of God will sit upon each person.
Come on. Amen.
You'll yes. Be baptized. The power of God will surround you. And then the result of that was financial blessings.
Amen.
People were giving, they were getting lands, they were getting businesses, they're receiving lands, they were preaching the gospel, they were laying hands. That was the result of it. And that is the procedure that I believe, the process is going to be taken here. So where are we? In Lot, in Genesis chapter number 19, verse 2. Listen to this. Lot bowed himself, verse number 2. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early." And listen to this. The angel said to him, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." Yet they were answering Abram's request, but not Lot's request. Verse number 3. But he insisted strongly. They turned into him and then entered his house. Then they did. I'm going to give you a key on how to work with angels tonight that is in this verse. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Verse 4. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young. Now first of all, before these angels lay down, so they needed sleep. So the angels needed sleep. They needed rest.
Yes.
Both, and then the citizens, the men of the city, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them carnally, that we may rape them." Okay, so angels can be sexually active and they can be harmed. So Lot went out to them through the door, shut the door behind them, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly." Imagine this, the angels had to go hide in Lot's house. Why did they have to go hide? Okay. "Do not do so wickedly." Listen here, verse 8. "See now, I have two daughters." Now listen to Lot. "I have two daughters who have not known a man. Yes. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." Okay, obviously Lot was off there, but it still shows you he kind of like honored He honored the supernatural.
Yes, yes.
There was something in him that he kind of like the guy, he was honoring. But listen to this. He says, "This is the reason they have come to my place, that they can be protected from you." It says angels can be hurt. Mm. "For this reason," mm-hmm. "they don't want to be raped by you out there. That's why they came to my roof."
Yeah.
"And they said, 'Stand back.' Then they said, 'This one came in to stay here.'" Now they're pointing to him. "And he keeps acting as a judge. Now he will deal worse with you than with them." So when you stand up for a man of God or the anointing, people will deal worse with than what they will actually with that person. So they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and came near to the break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house. So they have hands with them and shut the door. and they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became very weary and trying to find the door. So we can see they had power,
yes,
but they were limited.
Yes.
So it depends to the manifestation of the angels, and they have power. In a city of wickedness like this, these angels could have even been raped. Now, it's very difficult for me to verse by verse to point out what angels had weakness, and we can't do that. The Bible simply gives us a category and clarification as angels.
Yes.
That is these type of angels that I just spoke about. That is in your house. When you get the presence of God, and cherubims can even enter into your house. When you see yourself being protected, it is these angels.
Yes.
When a car accident, when you're supposed to be in a car accident and not, it's these angels. When Peter was saved from prison, it was these angels.
Sure, yes.
So why did the angel have to knock on a door? Well, it was Peter that was knocking, but they thought it was his angel.
Sure.
Because there are limitations. Although angels can move free, there are certain things that they are, it looks like, according to Scripture.
Yeah.
They can get tired,
yes,
because they needed rest. And in no way am I saying that God is inferior at all. I'm speaking in this world. Even Jesus had to get rest.
Yes.
He took time alone out, and he is God, manifested. He laid down divinity.
True.
So that's the difference. For him to have come into the world to lay down divinity and to be born through a the womb of a woman,
yes,
you can only live in this world by being born naturally. So Jesus knew, let me say it like this, God knew for his people to be saved, okay, he needs to be born naturally. But now if he's going to be born naturally, he's going to have impure blood. So it's not going to work. Because I can tell you about other conceptions that God caused. You know, we just think about Mary and Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
Mary and the Holy Spirit conceived,
yes,
Jesus.
Yes, yes.
And she, you know, in Mary. So we just think of that situation. We don't think of Sarah and Abraham.
Come on, sure.
Scripture will tell you, she said, I am too old.
Yeah, true.
And he said, is anything not... So the way that conception was taking place was not through Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole nother type of thing,
sure,
that I'm going to get into. That speaks the limitlessness of the limitlessness of God, his omniscience, his omnipotence, his omnipresence. The way we read Scripture, we might read it one way and think it's only like this. No. When you go in and study, and when you actually know what set Christ's birth apart, it was a virgin birth.
Yes.
No man has defiled Mary yet. It was a virgin birth. The blood was pure.
Mm-hmm.
And blood comes from the Father. So when Christ was born, he wasn't taken over by any infirmity or any curse or any impure blood. The seed and the blood was pure. And for that reason, he could take down Satan,
yep,
and he could,
yep,
deal with
come
him
on, come on,
and
yeah,
take the keys back,
yes,
of death, hell, and the grave.
Mm-hmm.
That when he died on the cross, he died a sinless life, taking upon the sin of the world, becoming,
yes,
sin himself. I hope that makes sense.
Yes.
So angels have limitations. So angels need to rest. Angels have hands and feet. Angels could get hurt and raped. Angels had to hide so they could rest and they could eat, be refreshed. These are just a few acts of angels' limitations that we see. That is why an angel can walk into your house and you will not know it as an angel. When it comes as this form of angel, you will think it's a person just coming and visiting you. But Lot, when he saw it, he had some type of discernment. As a believer, you've most probably seen angels and you don't know it. Angels are among us, not in the spirit realm only, walking amongst us. As believers, in a mall, maybe there's something like a good Samaritan you're encountering.
Yes.
It's an angel.
Yes,
you know,
sure.
That's how Christ came and manifested in the Old Testament, as the angel of the Lord, right throughout. There's angels that come as normal human beings. You'll think it's just somebody hiking.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody's just helping me out quickly. It's angels. You will never notice unless you have spiritual sensitivity.
Yes.
And the only way you know it is an angel. Well, for most, Lot had more discernment, but is to, afterwards, you'll be like, but that wasn't normal what just happened.
Yeah. Come on. Yes.
Then when you think back, then you realize, but it's angels. So angels can only be really thought back upon and know it is an angel that is happening.
Yes.
Unless you're told by God that it's an angel and this will happen. Angels. So we're going to carry on tonight anyway with, I gave you the ranks and kind of like a job description. Tonight I'm going to go on with a bit of more job descriptions.
Amen.
And how to work with angels, how to make them move, how
yes.
to work with them, your
yes.
relationship. What are we allowed to do and what are we not allowed to do?
Come on.
Very important.
Yes,
so
yes.
Let me just see, is there comments or questions?
Yes, Prophet, we've got a question here from Yaku Marks. He's saying, but you kind of already answered it. He says, if you pray for the protection of angels over your family, and while you're praying, and you see a type of human figure with white clothes, and can that be you actually seeing an angel, or is it just an imagination?
Yeah, so that is when I teach on visions. Is that Yaku Marks?
Yaku Marks.
And I think in our prophetic university, in our partners, we discuss those things, but visions have different levels. So that's a Shazon vision. A Shazon vision is when you can see something, but others don't see it. So when you pray and you see something, so yes, that is one of the ways you begin to open up your spiritual
amen,
eyes,
amen,
or how
amen.
God opens up your spiritual eyes, as when you close your eyes and you pray. Is that what they're saying? And
yes.
they're seeing a light?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that is what people don't know what the spiritual realm is.
Yes.
I'll do something. They don't know what the spiritual realm is. Spiritual realm is when you are suspended from this natural realm and you are, meaning you close everything you have of this realm and you can see something in your mind's eye, but it comes as a knowing, then it
yes.
comes as a vision and an
yes.
image. But now you get obviously people that do it whose eye has not been enlightened and is coming from the wickedness of their imagination.
Yes. Yes.
They've not been sanctified, so it is a very dangerous type of practice, but
wow.
that is how prophets train
yes.
and practice. So I don't have to close my eyes. I can just, if I prophesy, I can keep my eyes open.
Yes.
But you train by doing that. We'll tell people, oh, close your eyes. What do you see here? What do you see there?
Yes.
Tell us. He said to Jeremiah, what do you see?
Mm.
And Jeremiah said, the branch of an almond tree.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave you with this. Know that God never showed him the branch of an almond tree.
Yes.
Jeremiah said that's what
so,
he saw.
Come on.
God just asked him, what do you see? He didn't say, here's an almond tree. Okay, God, the Bible didn't say, your God is holding an almond tree and he's hoping
yes.
that Jeremiah would see it. No. He said to him, what do you see?
Oh.
Wow.
Everybody sees differently. So when prophets say to one another, are you seeing what I'm seeing? No, they're not prophets. Or they're immature in their training.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
No one will see what the other one is seeing regarding a person. You see it differently. A lot of people, immature ministers, they'll think, okay, I see two children by this one. What do you see? Do you also see two children? It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that, okay? When you want to see something about a person or what God is doing, it's different for each person depending on your prophetic language.
Yes.
Come on.
And
come
again,
on.
Those things we teach privately
yeah.
to our partners because that's not for public. Let me see. If Jesus is God, why does he not know when he is coming back to earth? So we need to get in the aspect of Trinity with this. I'm not going to be able to answer right now. God is three, yet he's one. But he's three is not three how we know. Because it will make God a multiple monotheses, I think they call it. Monotheistic God, monotheistic,
yes.
and I think, and or multiplistic, and the Bible says there's one God.
Yeah.
But we need to see God as he has a spirit and a soul, and then him as his body, his, you know, but yet it can operate differently. And that is when we get into the spiritual man. What is the spiritual man? How does the spiritual man operate? And the Trinity. The Trinity is very important. And spirit, soul, body. Because you cannot teach Trinity without spirit, soul,
yes.
body. And Trinity, people misunderstand Trinity. They think there's like three people up there.
Yeah.
They believe you have God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You have that. But it's one.
Yes.
And then he can manifest as three.
Operations.
But he's one. It's something that's very difficult. We'll do a teaching on dimensions and show you how things look in the fourth dimension
yes, yes.
from a third dimension and why you can see how do you see something in the fourth dimension? If you look at it from this side, it looks like a car. If you look at it from this side, it looks like a plane.
Yeah.
That is how perspectives work. What is that tesseract cube? If you look
yes.
into the tesseract that operates in the fourth, that in fact, the tesseract, let me close off with this. as we are on the side of angels. And tonight is going to be interesting. I'm going to show you how angels appear, how to minister to, how to let them minister to you and minister for you and talk to you. But you have a tesseract. I don't know, David, do you know how to draw a tesseract?
Yeah.
So it's something like, no, not like this. It's fine. Let's just, okay. Almost, actually. I know. Yeah, I know exactly kind of like, I just didn't. Almost. Okay. So basically, let me do something else. Basically, if you look at this, a tesseract. Now I'll show an image, or maybe Pastor David can get a clip on and we'll show you. You look at it like this. It's a four-dimensional cube.
Yes.
It's a tesseract. A tesseract is the shadow of a four-dimensional cube.
That's...
So we don't even know how a four-dimensional cube looks like. But what we see when we see a tesseract is a shadow of a four-dimensional cube. Do you have it? Oh, downloading it. Oh, okay. Okay, so a tesseract. It's only when you see a tesseract, when you're going to see when it comes up now, it is only a shadow of a four-dimensional object. So when you see this, when the four-dimensional object changes, the shadow changes completely into another shape. It's just changing around, but you see it as different things and different shapes. Then we can get into aliens or signs or things in the sky. So this... It's fine. Can it move or not? Okay. So whatever you see on the screen right now is a tesseract. When this tesseract moves, it's a cube within a cube. That's right. So when this thing moves, and we'll show it to you tonight maybe. Okay, that's not where. It's still on. Okay, so, but the camera's just like, they can't see it. There we go. When this cube moves, the shadow moves, you'll see it changes the whole shape of the cube. That is how, because we cannot see it from the third dimension. We can only see the shadow of a fourth dimensional object.
Yes, yes.
And that is why you can pray and prayers can be answered. That is how God can encounter and experience you. That is why you can have fear when God even comes into your room.
Thank you for joining us on Encounter. For more information, log on to www.encounterchurch.co.za or simply give us a call on Pretoria 012-753-9091. For more resources and updates, simply follow us on social media on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We'll see you next time on Encounter.